Just. Hello, can you guys hear me? Okay, I think that worked. All right, let's see if we can get this started the right way. Really doing some leather working here, and that'll just help me to stay focused because I am super ADD. But the main reason for this chat is it's May the 4th, and as a good Star Wars fan, May the 4th be with you. I was just kind of the last couple of days I've been ruminating about the problems that Marvel has been having and Star Wars has been having with their failure of their shows and films. And it is failure. I mean, if you look at what they have been making and now what they are making, it's both in box office and in quality, it is garbage. And that's not like me just being mean. It's just super duper true. Okay? And one of the things I'm realizing more and more is that I think they have forgotten the demographic that has gotten them to the money that they have right now. And I'm just going to be straight up here about this. It's my demographic. It is the Gen Xers or early Gen Zers who grew up with these comics and basically in the 90s. And the reason why I say that, well, it would be the late 80s and the 90s. And the reason I say that is because, frankly, we're the ones with money right now. No offense. We have careers, we have children, we want to share our fond memories of our comics with of the comics we grew up with the children around us that we have, that we're rearing, that we have come to know. We want them to see the amazing drama and thought that was placed into these comic books that we grew up with. Wolverine, X-Men, Spider-Man, and frankly, well, Captain America and the Avengers and Fantastic Four. I mean, these were comics that we grew up with. I wasn't really into Fantastic Four. My family was actually just mostly Spider-Man and Wolverine. But with that came X-Men, and with that came, just a smattering of different types of, well, it's a different type of literature. It's a comic book, man. It was really personal, okay? And that's why it did so well in the box office. You took something that was very personal to a certain group of people. Who had enough money to go to your crazy theater and spend the extra money that nobody needs to spend anymore to see something on the big screen? Now, I think the thing that Marvel is forgetting is who it was that bought their comic books in the first place. Okay? And I'm just going to be brutally honest here. The types of people that bought comics when I was growing up. And I was one of these guys, was skinny, not the strongest jock, but sharp-witted males, mostly white males, who were not very strong. And I'm not saying that to be, and there's a reason I say that, okay? I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to crap on guys who aren't the star jocks or whatever. It's just the truth. And frankly, I think it's just crazy. And let me go into why. Okay, let me go into why. Because I think the why is really important. The reason why we loved comics was because we got to go and see a person who was weak. Something would happen to them. And they would become strong. And because they had started out weak, they knew how to not be a jerk about it. And they were honorable, intelligent people who suddenly became strong. Whereas most jocks are just mean jerks who are always strong and never have to struggle about it. Never have to struggle with the jerks in their school who were stronger than them that were picking on them. Okay? So, I mean, so what we're talking about is we're talking about white suburban males who had expendable money because they had jobs or because they just had allowance or whatever the circumstances were. And they were looking for a character that started out weak, something, but they were smart. Something spectacular happened to them that caused them to have powers that were extraordinary. And what ends up happening is because of that extraordinary power and because of their starting as a weak person, they understood the value of that strength. And they, I feel like I'm quoting Captain America here, and they were honorable men. Okay? Now, I can't believe how far the Marvel Universe has come. And if they have a question as to why the people who bought $100 million worth of tickets for Captain America did not go and buy whatever the number they were thinking they were going to buy for Doctor Strange 2, it's because you lost the hero in your politics, okay? Now, I also want to say this. You don't have to have weak women for it to be good for men like me or white suburban males or even, you know, my friends who were African American or black, whatever you want to say, they actually are, I would say they're equally as upset because the truth of the matter is the guys that were buying comics were also kind of skinny black guys with expendable money. You know, kids who had jobs and were... I grew up in the suburbs, so I only know that there were, you know, the skinny white guys in the suburbs buying comics. But when I got older, my skinny black friends were the guys who read the comics. And it was the same pattern. We wanted to see a guy like us, who was witty, who was picked on, who was just trying to be a normal guy in high school, just trying to be accepted or have fun or whatever it is you want to fill in the blank, didn't want to be picked on anymore, and loved the idea of seeing one of these guys get powers and be able to take care of himself and take care of the people around him and protect the weak. That's the formula, guys. Now, what happened? Generally speaking, they met the strong female, was extremely attractive, but was extremely intelligent and was extremely capable and also had superpowers of themselves, of their own. They did not meet or they and this is the thing, the main characters of these stories were themselves men who were capable and who had terrible upbringings, terrible interpersonal skills, terrible circumstances that happened to them, tragic circumstances that happened to them. And that's how we became interested. Our tragic lives matched up with those tragic lives, and we loved it. Okay? Nobody wants to see Thor being a worthless, useless dolt who can't find his meaning in the world and has to be rescued by his girlfriend who has cancer. Because apparently a weak woman is better than an intelligent man in our day and age. And the dumb thing about this is, in the original comic, he was a doctor by day. He was Thor at night. His whole job was helping people during the day, an honorable profession. Okay, and I'm sure all the doctors who were nerds growing up when I was growing up, who read Thor, are probably so teed off right now and upset about the destruction of their superhero that they probably would rather see anything else than a Thor Love and Thunder movie. Okay, now I subjected myself to the Thor Love and Thunder movie, and I love Taika Waititi, but brother, that was a horrible movie. Okay, and I said this to my sister, like, you could have taken parts of that movie and made a great Woody Allen knockoff movie, and just remove all the action sequences and remove all of the sci-fi stuff, and gone and shot that in Manhattan with a small crew and a really good acting crew, a crew of actors, and it probably would have worked. I mean, there was a lot of interesting dynamics. The cancer thing was an interesting dynamic. It just was so out of place. It was tragic, and I understand what you were trying to do there. But also, Christian Bale's character was so weird. Like, he could have been so strong and terrifying, and yet he was instead creepy, pedophile vibes terrifying. You know what I mean? Like, he was not a good kind of, I'm an upset dad who lost his daughter sort of person. He was more of a, I'm the creepy guy that would take your daughter sort of person, which is what he did. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare, and I think every single Thor fan there that ever lived on this planet is never going to see another Thor movie unless there's like a major apology from the studio. But the nice thing is, with the multiverse, you could reboot this whole tragedy and do a low-budget, different version of Thor where he is the doctor, where he is trying to hide his identity. I think it would be neat to see a multiverse where they actually just, everyone kept their identity secret. And it could be like not a what if like they did. Oh my goodness, the what ifs are so tragically woke, it's scary. But they could do an entire new multiverse reboot of every single comic book movie with all new characters where every single person is trying to hide their identity from everyone. And if you don't know how to do that dynamic, go buy the old comics. And you don't have to pay for the expensive ones. Just go get the graphic novel collections of the old comics and read them. And what you'll find is that they build those dynamics for you. Heck, they actually would probably give you 90% of the storyboards you'd need for the movie. Anyway, so Marvel, don't forget who brought you the money. It was, and I shouldn't even say suburban white guys, but it was the young males who got beat up in high school and then found out that there was this thing called comic books where they could escape into a reality where the smart guys were the ones with the powers and the smart guys were the ones helping everyone, which is actually kind of the reality of our situation, although nowadays the smart guys are all building AI that will probably kill us, but whatever, you know what I'm talking about. The reality is you're trying to sell comic books to a group of women who's never given a crap about comic books in their entire life, which is this woke garbage mob idiots that couldn't find their way out of a rational argument if they were given a map and a compass and a Sherpa guide. And the problem with that is every single one of us nerds who grew up reading comic books read them because they were witty and smart and because we could see right through the ball crap. And frankly, what you're putting out now is just ideological bull crap. And that's why it's dying on the shelf. It's because nobody wants to hear your politics. They want to see a story about Steve Rogers. They want to see a story about Peter Parker and his struggle with losing his original love of his life and then marrying the second love of his life. And, you know, it's just so tragic. And that's what it was. It was the love of a drawn-out Greek tragedy. Illustrated Greek tragedy. That's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, you want to know what people want to see? They want to see the tragedy. And they don't want to hear about your politics. They won't want to see two gay rock monsters making a baby. Okay? Nobody wants to see that. You know why? Because you don't have to do that. If you do that, put it in the story. And look, I'm not homophobic. One of my favorite movies right now for the last like 2 years has been Mitchell's versus the Machine, which has an obviously gay character in it. And it's probably one of the best movies we've seen in the last 10 years. You know why? Because it wasn't about the politics. They were just making fun of our society. But also, that character's character was gay, and it worked with the film. It was just part of who she was, and the story was told, regardless of her gender or whatever, regardless of her sexual orientation, because it was a good story to tell. It was about family and how family dynamics are hard and how, you know, being the odd person out in your family is a freaking mess sometimes. And how sometimes it's like your dad lives in another century. Yeah, that's totally universal truths that we all laugh at because that's the way families go. Whereas the whole Love and Thunder thing was so preachy, it made you feel like anyone who wrote that thought you were an idiot and needed your whole point of view changed. And that's not why people go read comic books. It's not to get their point of view changed. It's to reinforce the point of view they have, which is, it sucks being a weak person. It would be amazing if a weak person became a super strong person, especially if that weak person was intelligent, articulate, witty, and the underdog. Okay. Nobody wants to see the spoiled brat King Thor staying the spoiled brat King Thor and then becoming like the fat guy living in his mom's basement. I mean, like, no one wants to see that, or seeing that he can't keep his relationship together. No one wants to see that. He needed to become more noble, not less. And that should have been his character development. And I think that, you know, yeah, you did a lot of people a disservice. Now, I don't think that you need to show everyone as perfect. There's an amazing plot line, and I know this is Batman, but it is also a comic book. There's an amazing plot line from the 90s about Batman and about him taking steroids and getting addicted to drugs. And it was like this, I think it was in the Dark Knight collection, and it was about some crazy German like ex-Nazi or something like that who developed this crazy super addictive drugs that were performance enhancing drugs, and Batman becomes addicted to them, and he can control Batman because he's got him addicted to drugs. Basically, he's his drug dealer. And so it's crazy and it's dark, and it's like the fallen hero, which is a great plot line. But Batman's never an idiot. He just made a really bad decision, and it was a very thoughtful, thought through, like, mistake, you know, and it showed like how dangerous drugs can be sometimes, especially highly addictive drugs that can ruin your life. And so, you know, I'm not saying to whitewash man's bad decisions. I'm just saying don't make the man the dolt, the idiot, the moron, because honestly, your demographic is the really smart man. That's who's paying for these movies. And actually, color really doesn't matter. I'm Asian. My friends are black and white and Mexican. And, you know, like, we all loved comics because we were those guys. We were witty, but we were weak. Or we were witty and we were strong, but we liked the wit. We liked seeing a smart man just go off and become an even more powerful man by being smart and strong, or smart and gifted. And, you know, and that's what it taught us. It taught us that we are all different. We all have our own talents. Sometimes they're very hidden. Sometimes no one will ever know the good that you've done for society. And it doesn't have to be on TikTok or YouTube or whatever. But you should do good, and you should do some good that can help society. And that's what Thor did. He was a doctor during the day. He wasn't some drunken rich boy who just sat around and played PlayStation and yelled at kids on Fortnite. You know, like, are you kidding me? Like, he actually was helping people. He was the one healing the injured. And I think that you're missing an opportunity by making all men dolts because they're part of the patriarchy and we need to fight against it. No, you don't have to fight against the patriarchy. The patriarchy is the only thing in this Western world that's given you women and you non-traditional people a voice. You know, the thing that's so funny to me is, like, the freedom of speech thing is came from a Western patriarchy. And the reason why patriarchy is so ingrained in our society is because you should have a dad. And that's just part of the reality of life. It's just what helps you develop, what helps you think. And I did not have the greatest dad in the world. I can tell you stories about how not great my dad was. But he taught me about honor. He taught me about working hard. He taught me about doing the things that nobody really wants to do, and either getting paid so you can take care of your family, or just taking care of it so that stuff gets built and work gets accomplished. Nothing glamorous, but it was something that I've taken with me into my adulthood, and it's made me a good provider. It's made me a strong man. And again, I don't want you guys to get the wrong idea. I love the idea of a strong woman. But a strong woman without a strong man is just alone. And frankly, what you've made is a bunch of movies that are just lonely. And nobody wants to be watching a useless, lonely life on the screen. How much more interesting would it have been if Thor's wife was also a powerful person, but not in the way that Thor is? Maybe she was a physicist who discovered something important, like it was in Thor 2. You know what I mean? Or Thor, was it Thor 1? And then they had a child, and that child maybe got kidnapped by the bad guy, or that child was going through cancer, and they had to go through it together as a strong woman and a strong man. And you could have taught us about the struggles of going through something hard as a strong woman or a strong man. Like, no one needs to see your breakup drama on a big screen. You know what I mean? Like, that's basically what I feel like I saw, which is sad. And I'm sorry for whoever it was that went through that, but yeah. We have enough of that stupidness in real life. You could at least give us the fantasy of something going well, or some hardship being worked out well in a relationship, as opposed to the crash and burn of two professionals who don't have enough common sense to, like, take care of their relationship. I don't know. It's just patronizing, and it's pretentious, and it's I'm gonna need to teach you, because you obviously don't know about how the woman queen has to, you know, assert her own ability to, I don't know, she had some weird conversation at the end in that, some weird tiki bar on a boat. I don't even know what the heck was going on in that movie. And she had to talk about how she loved her career. Like, guys, we get it, okay? Belittling women who stay at home, though, doesn't make their lives less fulfilling. It just makes you look like a one-dimensional idiot, because you don't understand why people would want to raise a family. Like, we want to raise a family because it is the most helpful thing you could do for a society, is to make sure the next generation isn't a bunch of idiots who are too stupid to tell a story, and so they have to preach at you their garbage in when they're supposed to be telling a story. And no offense, but learn to tell a story. And frankly, I'm disappointed, because Taika knows how to tell a story, man. Taika, you tell great stories. You did not do... I'm taking it personally because I love comic books and comic book characters, and I've always loved comic books and comic book characters. And I do apologize, because I know this is going to sound like an attack. It is not an attack. I don't want to attack Taika Waititi. I just think that you tried to do something woke instead of trying to do something good. And you think you're doing what is morally good for society, and frankly, nobody cares about a bunch of people's morals in Florida or Hollywood or wherever it is that your producers and you live. Because frankly speaking, like, we know how to live our lives. We don't need you to do that for us. We don't need you to teach us that. We need you to tell a good story, because we're paying $25 at the movie theater for your crazy story. So, that's my little rant about Marvel Studios. Now, since I'm already depressed and it's May the 4th, let's talk about Star Wars. No joke, Star Wars, it is amazing how you could take something as easy to continue as the history of the Force, and this is to Lucasfilms in general. It is amazing to me how you could take the history of the Force and completely screw it up in one generation. I'm flabbergasted. You guys have a talent. You have a talent for failing to remember the formula, okay? It was Luke, the whiny male, becomes the most powerful guy. Hey, sound familiar? The weak guy became the strong guy. Duh. And then, but this is the other thing you forgot. It was Leia who became the strong woman. She already was the strong woman. There was no need for her, you to find a new strong woman. She was part of it. So, no offense, but what you could have done this last time, which I think all of us are freaking unbelievably disappointed in what you did, was you could have done Finn becoming the first Black Jedi we get to see train. Like, yeah, everyone wanted to see that. Finn picked up the lightsaber, and I'm serious, I was so elated. I was like, oh my goodness, these guys are going to do something amazing. In the second film, we're going to have something totally different. We're going to have two Jedis coming into their own at the same time, going through all the training. No. What do we have? The same regurgitated script. Except now, instead of a whiny guy who needs to grow up, we have a self-assertive woman who already is grown up and doesn't need to grow up. And it's like, she has no character development. She has no character arc. She doesn't get better as a person. She's just a pretentious woman who doesn't realize that the thing she needs the most as a powerful person is humility. And that's never taught to her by anyone. And you just took Luke Skywalker and made him adult. What would have been really cool was it should have been Luke Skywalker who was the head of the dark side. Because in the books, that's what the heck happened. Luke went evil, if I remember correctly. And like, why am I the only one who thinks that would have been amazing? It should have been Luke became the started the new Jedi Order, then transitioned over to the dark side, killed his own students, and then went completely like power hungry crazy. That would have been so cool. And then the new guys would have had to take him down. That would have been cool. I would have been cool with that. And that would have been a good way to kind of off Luke without making a mess. Now you got a freaking mess, dude. Like Palpatine's daughter? What the heck? Where was the mother? Who was the mother? Was she a virgin's also, or whatever the heck they called it? Like, I don't know. I'm not even, it just turns my stomach to think of the way the prequels got some things all jacked and they didn't stick with the best idea ever, which was to make, what's his name? Jar Jar Binks, the Sith Lord. That would have been so sick. Anyway, I think that Lucasfilms, you guys need to go back to the drawing board. What you could do, actually, is just go back to the old comics that Lucasfilms put out back in the day, or even the old books that they put out. They had some killer, killer books, and they were amazing, and they had intricate plot lines, intricate thoughts. The storylines were, like, over the top good. Every sci-fi writer who was worth their salt came up with a good plot line for those, for that universe. Why? Because it was so easy to write for. It was the dark alley, crazy universe traveling, dirty ships and like a gritty universe, a gritty galaxy of smugglers and craziness. And frankly, I don't know who's the idiot who didn't think through the Han Solo series, but Han Solo did not take a shortcut in order to get his Millennium Falcon to break, to do the run in 12 parsecs or whatever it was. He didn't take a shortcut. He modified his ship to go that fast, and that's why it was cool, because it was another guy who took responsibility for his crap and did something amazing because he was just loved his ship. That is such a guy thing. and you wussified it. I'm just so disappointed in Han Solo's, like, that could have been a whole series. You could have had years and years of material. Having the fastest ship in the galaxy, he could have done races. He could have done smuggling runs. He could have done, like, super crazy stuff for big-time gangsters, and then realizing he needs to double-cross the gangsters. Like, what are we doing, guys? It's not rocket science here. This is freaking storytelling. You gotta find a story and tell it. You can't just coast your way and think that everyone's gonna eat your crap forever. No one's gonna eat this crap. It's just crap. Like, go back to the drawing board. Go watch the old films. Why are they still good? And go get the VHS of the old films where Han Solo shoots the bounty hunter. What's wrong with shooting a bounty hunter that's trying to kill you and take you back to Jabba the Hutt, a gangster? Like, that was the whole point of Han Solo. He was the most gangster. And it's just he had a quality about him that he was a natural leader, and a quality about him that he didn't take himself too seriously. And I think that's even important. You know what I mean? Like, everyone right now is taking themselves too seriously. We need someone who can just say, you know what, forget it. I'm just here because this is what I got to do to make ends meet. And I don't know. It's so disappointing. And by the way, Bo-Katan, she could have her own show. Please, 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 just give her her own show. It's an interesting character. I'm down with that. But the Mandalorian needs to be a bounty hunter. A bounty hunter. Or, if you want a crazy idea, why doesn't he marry Bo-Katan and they rule that place with, like, an iron fist? They could have, like, the most bad intergalactic army you ever saw. And they would be, no offense, a good partnership trying to raise some freaked out not Jedi. Ugh. I'm so disappointed in The Mandalorian. I thought that was going to be the one. I thought it started out so, so cool. It started out like the most baddest of the baddies, like, having a change of heart. Or even not even having a change of heart, but just saying, you know what, I'm bad enough that I can just take what I want, and no offense, if you try to stop me, I'm just gonna kill you. And it's like, then he became some sissy, and then that, what was up with that weird plot line of like 20 minutes of nothing, and then they just fry that geek's brain? Guess what? That geek? That's your demographic. You killed off the one person in that film that was actually, like, interesting. Okay? And what would have been wrong if he and that old, you know, what was her? She was like that old requisitions officer or whatever she was. What would have been wrong with them having a relationship? You know, like, they could have had actually a relationship, and it would have been a sweet gesture that person got him biscuits, and they could have continued his research for some reason. I don't know. That was like a stretch. He didn't want anything to do with any of that, and they just kind of shoved all that down his throat. It's so crazy. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And frankly, I don't want your explanation. I think you just need to fix it. Go hire some scabs and fix it, okay? Don't put out more crap. If you don't have good writers, stop making films for a minute and think about what you're going to do next. Because no offense, I can't even believe I'm saying this, you could potentially destroy the possibility of any more successful Star Wars films. And it looks like you're pushing to do it with your reboot of Rey Skywalker or whatever that's about. I can't even I can't even believe that I have to say these things. It seems like I feel like I'm insane that I have to tell a giant studio these things. And frankly, I just don't understand how you don't know who your market is. The Star Wars team is the same team that bought all your Marvel movies. We loved it because of the 1979 movie. Strong women. Strong men. Attractive men. Attractive women. You know? But intelligent. Intelligently attractive. Witty. Sharp. Leave your politics at home because we're trying to kill the emperor. You know what I mean? Like, who cares about your politics? Nobody cares about your politics. We all have two rules at Thanksgiving. Don't talk religion. Don't talk politics, okay? So, since politics is your religion, you need to leave all that crap behind when you're writing a movie. And frankly, some of y'all need to go fast and write a movie. Just stop eating three meals a day. Maybe, like, eat two meals a day or something like that. And just feel the hunger that you felt when you were first a writer. When you were just trying to scrape by and the only thing you could survive on was your wit. Your wit. Guys, your wit. That's what we want. We want to see how smart you are. We don't want you to tell us that we're so dumb. Because we're Anglo men. Or because we're, you know, privileged or whatever. Like, you don't know me. I grew up in the burbs. But you don't know me. I went to the rich school where everyone was rich and we were middle class. So what are you talking about? When, like, who are you? Who is your message for in these movies? Because the people with the money are the dads and the moms, who generally come from traditional families and who generally want to teach their kids that they can do anything. And frankly, we don't all have little girls. We have little girls and little boys. Unless you want another generation of sucky guys, you're going to need to stop making sucky guys on the screen. And no offense, we're not going to pay for it. We'll go to that Daily Wire guy and buy movies or whoever. We'll go somewhere else. And it's really sad because I wanted to teach my kids. Even where did the, I don't know if you know this, but there's a timeline. There's a Star Wars timeline put together by fans that compiles all of the data from the Big Bang, which I don't believe in, but that's fine. You don't have to believe what I believe. From the Big Bang to the Star Wars universe. And it depicts every single comic and book as what it said it was. So the history of the Sith and why there's only two. And how they were on a planet and they killed each other off. Where did we get that? Well, it's canon from the books. And frankly, if you're going to build nerd movies, you need to go back and get with the nerds and figure out what they have seen, what they want to see, and then build from there. I'm not saying you got to do exactly what they say, but you better know what they know. You're literally building products for the wrong people. It was not a bunch of attractive women who were reading comic books and watching Star Wars. It was a bunch of geeky men with money who brought their dates to go see Star Wars. Okay? So, just FYI, that's the demographic. That's who your people are that are buying your movies. And the more you poke them in the eye, the less they're going to show up. And no offense, but Ant-Man, was you poking them in the eye? Like, nobody wanted to see that garbage. Love and Thunder, that's you poking them in the eye. Nobody wants to see that garbage. You need to have a plot. you should have some sort of character development. This coasting through life garbage is freaking annoying. Like, freaking annoying. And I love the actors that you had, and you wasted their talent. You wasted their talent. And if they required rewrites so they could put all that garbage in there, then you wasted everybody's time. Okay? If they rewrote and it became better, great. But if they're rewriting and it's garbage, you need to tell them, hey, look, that's great. It's garbage, though. You need to chill out and let the writers write and get out of the way. But, you know, if you don't turn this around this year, the movies you have, you may want to look over them with a critical eye and scrap them if you think they're even remotely garbage. Because this is your last year. Is like your last year that people are going to deal with your garbage, because we're not invested in phase 4. Nobody is. I'm not. I haven't seen one person that's like, ooh, phase 4, did you see that thing that you're... No one talks about it. None. None. And that's not true for phase 1. When Iron Man came out, we were like, what the heck is that? Did you see that? I can't believe it. Did you see it? I saw it. It was crazy. It was so good. Now, granted, it would have been helpful if Tony Stark had a degenerative spine disease and then handed off his whole thing to Rhodey, because that's what happened in the comic. But that's just my personal preference. I think that would have been super cool. We would have had Tony Stark in a wheelchair, which is what we had. And then you would have had... you know, Rhodey becoming the new Iron Man. That would have been amazing. But that's, again, you need to know your audience. Like, we know these things. We were down with these things. This is the thing that I don't understand either. Like, you want to find a more progressive and, like, racially tolerant group of people? Go find some comic book readers. Because, frankly, the good comics... we're all over the place with race and I guess if you can transform in X-Men, does that make you transgender? I don't know. That's weird. Anyway, but you know, you'll not find a more tolerant group of men when it comes to race and weirdos. Like, come on, dude. You don't have to preach at us. You don't have to preach to a bunch of weirdos about how they need to be accepting of other people being weird. Like, we already know how to do that. Like, we were those outcasts. We might not have been outcasts like you were outcast, but we were those outcasts. So give it a rest. And no offense, even the jocks who liked comics, they were sharp people, and they weren't the jerks. They were the outcasts too. They were the smart jocks who, like, you know, were in the AP classes with the rest of us nerds. And they loved to watch, like, X-Men and Professor X. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Professor X was so dope. Why? Because of his mind. So don't be patronizing to a bunch of smart people. They're not going to buy your crap anymore. And that's where you are right now. You've patronized a bunch of smart people, and they've finally said, like, look, we don't want to hear about your politics. All you're selling is identity politics or whatever politics, sexual politics, and whatever. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about your two moms from another galaxy that had no way of reproducing. No one cares. Nobody cares. And your racial politics. No one cares that she's Arabic. Who cares? I don't care. Like, choose... there's literally, you can go back and read the numbers, there's literally like 4 comic books that sold 90% of all of the freaking comics. And you want to figure out how? Go back and look at their dialogue. It was amazing. Go look at their plot lines. It was amazing. They just captured your mind and your thoughts and just kept you laughing, kept you guessing. You had no idea what was going to happen. And now you're trying to make it identity politics. Dumb. Very dumb. All right, guys. that's my rant for the night. I'm sorry. I know that you probably didn't even want to hear a rant tonight, but whatever. If you're trying to figure out what I'm making, I'm kind of making a wallet, but it's not really a wallet. It's for my joke book. I'm going to make this hold my joke book and my debit card, my credit card, whatever. And it holds a pen. Put a pen in here. Oh, sorry. So that's what I'm making. Making a joke book so I can write stuff. But anyway, yeah, sorry. Had to rant for a bit today because I'm just so sick of seeing bad movies made with millions of dollars. You're going to ruin it for everyone. You're going to ruin it for everyone. You're going to end up making a world where Hollywood will not take a chance on comic book movies ever again. And frankly, that's not your job. That's DC's job. Just saying. And I love DC Comics. I love The Flash. But you put enough pedophiles into a Flash movie and no one's going to want to watch it. So enough meaning one. But anyway. Guess you all are kicking yourself for not putting that CW guy into the Flash movie. I don't know why you didn't do that. He was really good at it. Nice. Good guy. With an interracial marriage. It was good stuff. It was cool. He was a cool dude. He is a cool dude. He's not dead. Still do it. But again, this is where you're trying to explain normal things to Hollywood. And, you know, you think that's not the most frustrating thing to try and do. Planet you grew up on. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, this is Dan. Please like, share, subscribe. And hope to see you again in the next one. Yeah.